Welcome to the SBCN podcast, a production of the Small Business Community Network, brought to you by Brad Poulos, small business coach, entrepreneurship professor, and author of the Small Business Operator's Manual, a guide to running your small business profitably.
Everyone, it's Linda Ockard-Jenner here again, co-host of the SBCN Small Biz Podcast, one of the co-founders of the Small Business Community Network. What we're doing in this lovely new year of 2026, we're bringing in SBCN members who are very, very successful, very consistent, and basically we are asking them if they'd like to be our expert guest once a month, every 2 months on the podcast video. And this will help other people out there decide, you know, where can I get some ideas? Where can I get some tips? Very excited today to have one of my most favourite people who is in sunny Florida at the moment, Orlando, who is an entrepreneur, very successful one, got a wonderful story. Glenn Poulos, thank you for coming on the show. And I'm very jealous of your lovely warm weather.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks, Linda. Thanks for having me here today. It's great to be here.
Since you've become a member, you've been along to the SBCN monthly event with your wonderful, wonderful, successful brother. And you've shared some wonderful stories about being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So first of all, I'd like to know, what company do you own at the moment? What company are you running at the moment, please? Because I can't keep up with you.
Yeah. So in 2022, I sold my Canadian business that was 15 years old at that time. And I had a bit of an earnout, which is part of the process of selling a business. And they kept me on board as a, you know, employee, basically. And there was no real end date. But after about 3 years, you know, that would probably naturally come to an end. But a couple years in, I realized it was probably going to, I could see the end coming. And so I thought, what am I going to be doing? I knew I wasn't going to be retiring at 60 years old. So I thought, you know, hey, what do I want to do? And so I bought a similar business that's much smaller, but I bought it in Florida. Oh. So that I could, for a multitude of reasons, primarily the weather. I like the weather here a lot better. And two, I had to do something that was not competitive with what I had been doing in the past. I didn't want to be competing with my old self and, you know, not a good look, right? So I bought a business in Florida. It's called Prog USA. And again, I was an electronic distributor in Canada. We were selling electronic systems to the wireless industry. And in, now this new business is, again, an electronic distributor selling electrical equipment to the power utility industry. So the business runs the same. The customers are different. The products are different. You know, the geography, the country, everything's different, but the business runs the same. So it's not a huge, so it's not like I'm going from hardware sales to software or, you know, service to, you know, building skyscrapers, right? I mean, it's really the same kind of business, just in a different location. And yeah, and that's what I'm doing right now.
You're very clever. I've already got some good ideas from you. So can you share with our viewers and listeners what a true entrepreneur is?
Oh, wow.
That's because awesome. You are one.
Okay. You know, first of all, an entrepreneur, in my opinion, you know, is someone that sort of, you know, works for themselves is one thing, right? So that's one thing for sure, right? As core, I think entrepreneurship is more about the ideas and the ownership than process, right? But you know, so yeah, I mean, there's just so many ways you can go with what is an entrepreneur, but
in your case, I mean, what do you feel that as an entrepreneur, which way did you decide to go? I know you build successful businesses. So isn't that a big part of being an entrepreneur? You are not afraid to start a business and see where it goes. And normally just offload the business. That is what some entrepreneurs do. Is that correct?
I think, you know, to me, it's more of a mindset what an entrepreneur is, you know. I mean, because an employee kind of works within the systems that a company is defined, whereas an entrepreneur has to take ownership of the problem and commit to solving it themselves, right? So they have to act before they feel ready and learn by doing, right? And sometimes it's trial by fire, you know, most of the times, you know, and they have to accept the risk and manage through it with effort and learning and discipline. And, you know, entrepreneurs have to stay close to their customers. They have to listen, they have to adjust and improve very quickly. They have to build systems so the business can run without, you know, sort of constant involvement, which is one of the funnest things for myself to do. You know, they have to watch their cash. They have to make decisions with long-term impact. They have to try to never make a decision that would kill the business with any one decision. Yeah. And most of all, they're accountable. And when things fail, they can't blame others. You know, at a core, you know, the entrepreneur is someone that's building and keeps moving forward, even though results come slowly. And
I love it. Yeah. I think you've hit the nail on the head, Glenn. You really, really have.
And the biggest thing is also there's no real, like in the beginning, there's no real guaranteed paycheck every 2 weeks. There's no in Canada T4, in the US it's a W-2 slip, right? You know, you don't get that, right? And you kind of get paid last. And you know, but the one nice thing about being an entrepreneur, which it's people maybe don't think of it this way, but I call it kind of a like a little bit of a cheat code or a bit of a lottery ticket to life, in the sense that, you know, you could be working for a company, you know, in Kitchener, Waterloo or something like that. You could come up with a great idea and the company's like, wow, Bob, that was a wonderful idea. Great job. And, you know, they put it out and they make millions of dollars off it, right? And maybe you get a 20K bonus at the end of the year or something
I'm with you. Yeah.
And whereas if you're the entrepreneur and the owner, you know, you can have this like lottery style win on your efforts, where it could go from like maybe you're making a few K a month to you're making millions of dollars a year as a result of your effort. Whereas it's the only kind of environment other than like lotteries where that can sort of happen. That's why I kind of call it like a lottery ticket. But you can't get a ticket unless you're an entrepreneur.
Thank you. Right? I love that. If you've got to be in it to win it now.
Yeah.
I'm guessing in your case, you take calculated risks. I don't think, I mean, I could be wrong, and there's nothing wrong if it's not a calculated risk, but a lot of people are turned off by entrepreneurship for the simple reason it is a big risk. You may have to, you know, you've got a mortgage and you're nearly paid off, but you may have to get a new mortgage to keep the business going. Some people don't want that kind of risk. Some people calculate it and think to themselves where, you know, the benefits, the pros and the cons. Did you ever get scared in the early days, you know, when you started your first business many, many years ago? Did you ever think to yourself, what if this does not happen? Or is that taboo and you can't think like that?
Yeah, well, I have to be honest. And I mean, like in the beginning, like that was, first of all, that was in 1991 when I started my very first business. Wow. And let's see, like the last time that I was probably like worrying and, you know, lost sleep was probably last night.
You know? So you're still worried.
There's no, And I try to, you know, I try to be this like less concerned about it or whatever, right? But I bear the brunt of it. I just carry it all with me as a person. It's just the way I am, and I can't put it aside. And you know, so like even if I'm at the beach, you know, walking the dogs, I every few minutes I still worry about, oh my god, am I going to get that thing solved at work? Or and because you carry all the responsibility with you, right?
Yeah.
And really, the only way to get out from under it, I think, is, you know, well, unless you're massively successful, but then there's probably other people running the business and you probably have other problems that bother you. But, you know, unless you sell the business and retire, I don't know, you know, and then you got to worry about what you're going to do with yourself. And, you know, so
you've hit the nail on the head again. I'm not a true entrepreneur. I don't like taking risks. I might take a few calculated risks, but I've never really been in the position where I can pile a lot of money into any of my businesses. The Small Business Community Network, as an example, which I co-founded with my husband, we've both got other businesses or other work
right.
that keeps in the money coming in. This is more of a give back. But the point is, I still worry. I worry about the members or the sponsors to make sure that we're giving them enough and we're helping them enough. And sometimes I worry if I don't hear from a member because it's a community. I think, are they okay? Do they need me to check up and make sure they're not struggling? And so I think in our case, that's the way we do it. I Right. don't really like the people who don't care and are just in it to make loads of money and don't care about the people that they are paying their way. You know, they're paying wages to people and they don't care if the business works or not because those people will be without a job. You're one of the people that's got a heart, and I think this is why you're very successful because is it one book you've written or two? I can't remember.
My brother's written three. I've written one. So
that's correct. And thank you for mentioning Brad. He's amazing too.
Yeah.
What I liked about your book, you are very, very authentic. You are very, very real. One of the things that will, you're not, this is who we get. You don't pretend. And I think that builds trust with not just the people who work with you or for you, but with any clients, sponsors, people who want to give you money in some way. The biggest thing that ever, you know, always pops into my head for me book is never forget to remember to say hello to the person, the first person you meet who may be sitting at the reception desk or maybe call the gatekeeper. Always say hi to them, remember that name and treat them as you would treat the CEO. Is that correct?
Yeah, I have a saying in my book called "You only get forever to make another impression," and basically I use it for younger people that are sort of how do I get ahead in life or in my career and what have you, right? And I point them at that one of my 57 tips right in the book as being one of the most important. And it's like, well, my mom told me to make a good first impression, right? And I'm like, yeah, that's true. You do need to do that. But you have to treat every impression with your coworkers like a first impression. And whether the people are working below you or above you, they have your career in hand, right? Like, you know, for instance, if you're mean to a bunch of people below you and they complain to the people above you, then that's going to limit how far you can go. Or people above you, if they're walking by you and they find that you're sloughing off and, you know, every time they walk by you, you appear to be on Facebook and Instagram instead of working on the report you're supposed to be working on. Not a good look, right?
No.
And so I tell people, you know, be cautious and make sure you treat every interaction with these people as the key to your future, because the people that handle them well and handle those times properly, they're the ones that go from being the warehouse guy driving the tow motor to the CEO. And they're like, how does a guy go from working in the warehouse 40 years later, he's the CEO of the company? That's how he treated every impression like an important first impression, right? And did the next right thing. And So
being an entrepreneur in your case isn't about being like all show off in, I'm very successful. I've had so many businesses, got them to where I want them, sold them, started another one. You're all about really being real. People are all real on the same level as you. I was thrilled to bits when Brad, your brother, joined the SBCN as a member. And then when he invited you along as well, I thought, well, we're a small networking organization, but you treat us as you would say the chamber or any other networking organization. Yeah. You can see our true value, and it's not about we're too small for you. And to be honest, you give us so much value. Just, I always say to the members or anybody really, if you want to find out how to be an entrepreneur, say in your case, or how to write a book, really, why not follow people on LinkedIn that I can recommend? And I always recommend you because you put some amazing posts out there. I always see you being interviewed by people. And I truly believe that we can pretend to be someone we're not, but we always get found out. This is why I said you're real. So what would you say to our listeners and our viewers? Say it's somebody coming out of college and they've got a really, really good idea. Would you say, if you've got an idea and you want to be an entrepreneur, would you say try and do it on your own or gather a group of trusted other people who want to be in the same business as you so you can all, you know, work together and support each other? Or is it better to go it alone and face the struggles? Or does it not matter really which way you go?
Honestly, it's probably like a flip of the coin, roll of the dice kind of a thing, right? So I want to try to attack it from a few different angles, because there's a few lessons that can be taken away, because not many people come out of college with the next mousetrap kind of invention in their back pocket, right? Yeah. And I mean, let's say they're going to come out with the next kind of like a next Facebook or something like that. But that's kind of different, and it's kind of a little bit above my pay grade in terms of what I know about too, in terms of software startups and things like that. But I mean, those things probably have to be handled in a specific manner. But, you know, if you've come up with a better rake or a better, you know, shovel for snow shovel or something like that, I mean, trying to do it all on your own would be extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I learned, I started a company in 91, then I started a company in 2007. Both were successful. Both were sold for, very good exits in the eight figures. And but what I learned on the third one was that, you know, there's millions and millions of companies out there with founders that are in their 70s or 80s, and they have no way to get out of their business. And they've got a business that's running and successful and profitable with hundreds of customers, dozens of vendors, and everything is all set up. And you can buy that business for a very, you know, mathematically defined multiple in the accounting world. You know, businesses sell for specific multiples depending upon how profitable they are, right? Yeah. And, you can take all your great ideas and you can start from scratch, but first you got to get a bank account, and then they're like, who are you? And you got to go through all the, you know, are you real? And like the KYC and AML, you know, anti-money laundering, know your customer and all that with the bank. Then you got to try to get insurance. Then you try to get real estate for your business, like a place, an office or whatever. And then you have to sign a lease for 3 to 5 years. And it's not like a lease on an apartment. I mean, when you're in there for 5 years, if you go bankrupt in 2 months, you still owe them the money, right? Gosh. Like, you know, or not bankrupt, but I mean, if you try to get out of it, you have to pay the landlord all 5 years, even if you close the business, right?
Wow. Yeah.
And so in my opinion, I always suggest people to try to look to find a business they can buy into or buy outright before they start it from scratch. Now, their business may not be attuned to that. And, you know, and so then they need a few key things. So if they have I always say like the better mousetrap. So there's three things they need in order to start the business. So the first thing they need is a minimum viable product, you know, the better mousetrap, not the perfect mousetrap, right? Because you have to be able to sell it. You have to be able to start making money. And if you wait till it's perfect, you'll never sell anything, right? So the first thing you need, minimum viable product, right? The second thing that you need is you either need a very kind and loving spouse that'll feed you for 12 to 18 or 24 months, or you need to have enough money in the bank to pay your rent and your groceries for 12 to 18 to 24 months.
Yeah.
It can vary, but 18 to 24 months is kind of like the fallback you'd want to have, where you don't have to pull any money out of the business, right? So first thing, minimum viable product. Second thing, you need to food and clothing and shelter for 18 to 24 months, either yourself or your spouse. And the third thing that you need in order to really start the business is a customer that you don't deserve. And what I mean by that is that, you know, the first order, no one knows who you are. No one knows. You have no track record in that business. You might have a track record from before, but it's really meaningless in the new business. Yeah. And you need someone to take a flyer on you that'll trust in you and give you a shot. And so now once you get that order, you have to work like heck to keep the order and, you know, and prove that they weren't, you know, they didn't make a mistake in trusting you. But the first one you never really deserve, you earn the rest of them after that. Right. And so those are the three things that are needed. And what I found was a lot of people, they kind of have the product and they might even have the money or the wife or husband to support them, but they don't have any customers, right? They're like, oh, but my mousetrap's the best one in the world, right? Like, there's no way people will. I go like, go sell one then, right? Like, go get some orders. And so and prove that some people will take a chance on you, you know, and then because those are sort of the three key things I think you need in order to start a business, right?
Those are the best three amazing one, two, three most important things. Do you have to be good at sales? You must have to be good at sales. But what if you're not good at sales? I guess you partner with somebody who's good at sales, will you?
So the one thing I would also explain to people about being entrepreneurs is be very cautious about like partnering and what have you, right? Because partners are kind of like, you know, they're even like more complicated than spouses, right? Because partners often outlive many marriages, right? Like in business, you know what I mean? Like your business partner may survive you, you know, through two or three divorces. But, and so you want to pick them very carefully. And so you don't want to say like, oh, well, I have a better mousetrap and I have, you know, financial runway and I have a customer, but I'm not really good at sales. So I'm going to partner with Jack. Because he's a great salesperson and all of a sudden he owns 50% of the company,
right?
Oh,
yeah.
And you know, and so later when you sell for $50 million, you got to give him half that money, right? And did he really earn it, deserve it or whatever, right? So in the end, in the beginning, you kind of have to be a salesperson in the beginning. But the things that you're bad at, hire those as quickly as possible, right? So I always say structure first, people second. So you sort of start the business, maybe you're all by yourself, right? And you look at yourself and you say, hey, I need an accounting piece. I need a sales piece, marketing. I need operational, you know, warehousing, shipping, receiving, you know, incoming, outgoing, all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And you basically want to say, this is what my company would look like a year from now, 2 years from now. This is the perfect structure of my business. So structure first.
Yeah.
And then people second, right? And it's like, I'm the only person, so I can't be in every seat because if I am, then I'm doing a poor job at all of them because I can't, you know, I'm not right. So what's the most important one? And then you hire the people second and maybe, you know, it's you and another person and they're kind of good at sales and you're not. Don't make them the vice president of sales. No. It's, you know, it's, but you got to have the right person in the right seat.
Okay.
So if you and Jack are not the right salespeople, either one of you, and you need to occupy that sales seat, you need to hire someone for that job.
Definitely.
Same thing with accounting, right?
What? Because it's very complicated, isn't it?
It is. And you probably aren't good at it.
Right? I'm not good at it.
I don't mean you specifically. I mean me.
I even went to school before I became, before I started my own business. And I managed to pass the accounting test, but it was I don't know how I managed to pass it. No. That's one of the first things I did. I got a bookkeeper. All I can say is you've wowed me out already, and I can't believe what you're going to come up with next time we do this, because honestly, you've got the longevity. You've got the expertise, you've been there, you've done it. And I didn't think of any of those things because I'm not a bricks and mortar business, am I? So those are some things I didn't think of. It's absolutely fantastic. I can't thank you for your time. And even though I don't want to let you go back to the sun unless you're working, I must say one thing that stood out for me was I wouldn't have put you down as somebody who, when you're on the beach, you're still thinking about the business. That makes me feel better because sometimes – most of the time, I'm thinking about the businesses, and people say that is wrong.
I wouldn't get very good marks. I just, I really do carry a lot of worry, and you know, there's the whole thing about, you know, 99% of everything you worry about never happens, right?
True. Yeah.
when you're a small business and you know when the buck really stops with you and whatever, like you can't just say, oh well, you know, the guy's not may or pay me or he may not pay me or something like that. I mean, you have to worry you're gonna get paid.
I know. Like,
you gotta worry about that, and you might need to worry about it on a Saturday at the beach, right?
True.
And just because, you know, to keep it in the forefront of your mind. And I mean, you have to be, you know, a superhero in order to separate so many things, right? But you want to try to maintain some balance and
I'm sure you and I in particular do. Dave, the other co-founder, is completely different to me. That is why he works in the corporate world, because he doesn't want the worry of, you know, owning a business that he wants to build up into the millions.
Yeah.
It works well for us, it really does. I can't thank you enough. You've been absolutely wonderful.
No problem.
You have a website for the new business, I presume. Would you like to share that with us?
My new business is progusa.net. And we're an industrial supplier to the rapidly expanding power grid in the U.S. And so I'm formerly Canadian and born, bred, spent my whole life in Canada, but I'm now working in Florida. So, yeah.
But you come back sometimes, don't you?
I'm back and forth on a regular basis. Yeah.
So. Well, lots of luck, even though you don't need it. Thank you for your time, and we'll see you. I believe in March with some more wonderful, wonderful ideas. Take care and have a great day.
Thanks, Linda.